Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by BarkBox. BarkBox pop picks the best all-natural treats and innovative toys for your dog and ships them right to your door. To receive a free month of BarkBox with your 6 or 12-month subscription and free shipping, visit getbarkbox.com/twit. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 307, recorded on Tuesday, February 28th, I believe, 2017. We are your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell. Aw, say that again.
I'm Ron Richards.
There we go. And now you.
And I am not Florence Foster Jenkins.
Thankfully.
I am Florence Ion.
Yeah, we have Flo on the show.
Which is unfortunate because I would love to be Meryl Streep. But anyway.
Another day.
Another day.
Yeah, we can all aspire to be Meryl Streep. It's good to be back. This is a big week.
Oh, it's so big.
Such a big week when it comes to hardware. If you're a hardware junkie, this is the show for you.
Oh, such a junkie.
Yeah? You need your hardware fix?
I need my fix.
Joining us to help break down everything for Mobile World Congress this year, this week, whatever you want to call it. It's both are accurate, actually. Duncan Jaffrey from Ozdroid.net. How's it going, Duncan?
Very well, thank you.
You do not look as if you've only had 1 hour's worth of sleep.
It's true.
I'm very glad to hear that. Okay. I feel like it.
I know that you feel like it, and I can't even tell you how much we appreciate the fact that you are willing to join us tonight. You are, of course, in Barcelona for Mobile World Congress. It is 3 a.m. in the morning. A few hours ago, I sent out an email expecting you to be asleep, saying, everyone, there was an AWS outage, so our shows are delayed. It's probably going to be an hour before we actually get started beyond our time. And you replied right away, which told me, okay, he's not to sleep yet. So this means he's maybe going to get like an hour's worth of sleep, which is exactly what you got. And I'm sorry.
I'm sorry if I don't make any sense.
You will. You already do.
Well, we got to ask him the most important question as anyone at MWC. How much jamon have you had on this trip so far?
Oh, so much jamon. I have a supply in the fridge. I had jamon in a cone walking down the street the other day, walking into the city center. Everywhere you go, at all the events, there's jamon. If I have any more jamon and bagels or jamon on toast with tomato grated on top, I may very well turn into acorn-fed ham.
Don't say too much about the jamon. Ron might actually, like, pass out, and we won't have him for the rest of the show.
Have you considered probiotics?
I am so – I literally know where heaven is, and it's Barcelona.
Yeah, fairly.
Jamon in a cone? That's genius.
Jamon in a cone.
Oh, my gosh, Ron, you should make that into a food truck in New York City. The kids will go crazy over it.
That would do very, very well. All the food trucks are over, but we could do a pop-up. That's what's in now. So, wow. I am not only am I jealous, Duncan, of all the cool phones and all the cool Android pins you've gotten, but the jamon on a cone, that's just like life. That's fantastic.
It is pretty perfect.
Doesn't get any better than jamon and a cone. Maybe jamon and a cone and like 6 hours of sleep. That would maybe make this a little bit better. We'll try to wrap this up so you can get back to sleep and hopefully carve out another couple of hours. But we really appreciate it, Duncan. It's really nice of you to offer to come on today, tonight, this morning, whatever you want to call it. Either way, I know it's not easy, but we appreciate it. We are going to be discussing all of the biggest hardware announcements from Mobile World Congress, of course. Duncan's actually at the event. We have some hardware in the studio.
Yes, we do.
We've got stuff to show off. So we've got a lot to talk about there. Also, a lightning round of Android news.
Yes.
Because we got to fit in some of this other stuff somehow. And we don't want the show to go on for like 5 hours. So we had to figure it out somehow. But that is that. We are ready, Kara. If you are ready, it's time to jump into the news.
Today, Kara has nothing to say. It's Android.
News. That really took me by surprise, Burke. Wow, I did not realize Kara. That you were standing back there.
It took me by surprise.
I was like, wow, Kara's really got this down.
I know. Oh, it's Burke.
That's not Kara. Okay, fine, Kara. You win this time. And thank you, Burke, for stepping up to the plate.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so this is a lightning round. We've got four or five different stories and like 5 or 10 minutes to fit it into. So this is lightning round. That's what we're going to call this. Story number one, Google Assistant is coming to all Nougat and Marshmallow phones beginning this week. It will magically appear for users via Google Play services. Some phones at Mobile World Congress will support Assistant out of the box. I'm sure we'll talk about some of those here in a few. Also, there have been some reports of stock 6P users seeing a Pixel launcher flash when they unlock their phone, only for a few seconds, and then it reverts to the Google Now launcher.
To, like, die and go to heaven. Oh, it just flashed before my eyes.
Well, they unlock it and they see the actual Pixel launcher, and then either the next time they lock and unlock it. Disappears and it's back to Google Now and it's like weird.
It flashed before my eyes.
Maybe it's just wishful thinking. but it's there. What do we think? I'm thinking that means that this is all going to be timed together, but is this essential? How do you guys feel?
Good. We feel good about it. We feel great.
Okay.
Excited.
Okay.
I'm excited. I'm still thinking about the ham on. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry.
The ham on in a cone.
All right.
I'm over the Haman, and I'm very excited to have Assistant and more devices.
Yeah, it was kind of a necessary step. You kind of figured this would probably happen at some point. Feels a little early.
You know what's good about Assistant?
What?
It didn't go down today.
With AWS?
Web services.
That's true. Hey, not everything went down with AWS.
If a Google app goes down because of AWS, then I think there are bigger problems.
This is also true.
What does that mean? Yeah, that's a really good point.
Jason, you said a little earlier than thought. I mean, I don't know. Or is it a little later than thought? I feel like Assistant should have rolled out when they announced it in the fall. So, I mean, like, I'm glad that it's rolling out to Nougat and Marshmallow handsets because, like, it's overdue as far as I'm concerned.
But would that have been good marketing to be like, hey, brand new phone, we really want you to buy it and spend money on it, but we're going to make the stuff that's really exclusive about it available to everything else, too?
I hate the exclusivity stuff. I hate that.
I know.
I mean, I get that it's like, oh, you want the Assistant, you can just get on the Pixel and it's a reason to get the Pixel now. But that, so what, that goose sales for 3 months, 4 months, it did that goose sales? Would people, why not just buy the phone because it's a great device and it's got a great camera and all that sort of stuff? I don't know. I just feel using software features as exclusivity tools just rubs me the wrong way a little.
Very.
When I was in San Francisco for the launch of the Pixel, we had a couple of roundtables afterwards, and we asked that question of them, and they said it wasn't to do with those reasons, and it was more because they were testing the load that would be required with Assistant also, and fine-tuning everything.
That's also fair. But, I mean, Google Assistant on a
when David Burke speaks, you believe him.
Anyway, well, let's move on to the next... to the next portion of our lightning round, which is some very quick Allo news. Last week, maybe you saw this pop up on the internet, but Nick Fox, the Google VP of Communication Products, tweeted out an early dev screenshot of Allo for the desktop, which is exciting for people like me who do use Allo to communicate with their significant others and the three other people who use them, one of them whom is Jason Howell, the second of whom is Ron Richards. Pretty soon we'll be able to talk to each other on the desktop, but we still won't be able to send text messages. Or at least we don't know if we will, but I'm dubious about that.
I'm fine with the lack of text message service. I'm fine with that because, again, Allo is a WhatsApp competitor as far as I'm concerned. Mm. And WhatsApp, you can't send text messages either. That's fine. If we can – and we're going to – in the next story we'll talk about this more. But if we can sunset SMS and MMS as fast as possible, I'm all for that. But this desktop app, as far as – I use WhatsApp on the desktop all the time. That was the one thing when Allo came out. I'm like, oh, no web or desktop support. I want that. So I'm glad to see they're finally doing it. Now they just got to ship it.
It'll just be me and Ron sending each other stickers all day.
No, it'll be you, me, and my 11-year-old niece who likes to send me gifts of Lin-Manuel Miranda. So there you go.
Oh, that's really sweet.
That's the entire user base of Allo.
Those are probably good gifts, though. Right
there. They are.
You know what this should mean, though? What this should mean is also multi-device, because if they're going to allow it online, Clearly, that's not going to be tied to a mobile number. So hopefully we finally get multi-device set up. And when you change devices, you don't lose your whole chat history, which drives me bonkers.
That's a very good point.
Does that potentially weaken the security kind of model of Allo in that regard? Although some would probably say that Allo is not very secure to begin with. But anyway.
If you're using a secret chat, it wouldn't persist.
Right.
And if you weren't using a secret chat, then, you know, you would suggest not. It would just the same as it is.
Yeah, right. It's just the same as it is. Good point. Ron, you got it next.
Yeah, I'm starting to become like a Don Quixote when it comes to messaging. But so Google added 27 carriers and device manufacturers to the list of RCS supporters. And for those not aware, RCS is the rich communication services meant to be Google's attempt at replacing a messaging protocol. Orange, Dutch Telecom, and Globe now support Google's RCS internationally, and many major OEMs will support it too by pre-installing Android Messages, the new name for Google Messenger. But still, Sprint is the only U.S. carrier that's carrying it. But this is good progress to see around the world they're rolling it out. But then, of course, you know, good news comes with bad news. And Samsung also announced that it's doing its own RCS service, which I should not be surprised about. But they will make it compatible with others, including Google's RCS Cloud, which is via Jibe, the startup that Google bought to fuel their RCS platform. I want RCS now on everybody. I feel like Veruca Salt. I want it now, Daddy.
But I want it now, Daddy. I want a golden goose now.
Wow, you're really good at that.
Wow, that was really good, Flo.
You even had the, like, mini head shake with goose.
Yeah, exactly.
That, it was goose.
It was basically me as a child, but anyway. Yeah. Daddy, I want it now.
So when I read the Samsung thing, I was like, well, of course Samsung's going it alone, but they're building a service that will be compatible. So then who cares? Right?
And it'll be on all their phones, and they have a lot of like low and mid-range phones that are floating around the world. And of course they've got all the high-end phones that everybody's using. Although I wonder, oh my gosh, does this mean we're going to have like super redundant messaging apps again?
Well, potentially.
Because if I think about Verizon, how they always bundle in their Messages Plus, you know, for instance, they're going to have a Samsung app and they're going to have a Google Messenger app.
It drives me crazy. It should be like HTTP, which is a universal protocol that everybody uses to deliver data to a web browser. Why can't we have a universal protocol for messaging that works on all platforms? And it does not, it's not complicated. You know, like SMS and MMS are over 30 years old. It's time for them to go. That, you know, and we need just a common platform that everyone can operate off of, as opposed to doing their own, rolling their own versions. It just drives me crazy. I'm sorry.
Is it Duncan, time to free
is,
SMS?
Welcome to my madness.
Is it time to free SMS from the shackles of our expectations?
Say goodbye to that. Say goodbye to SMS. SMS is outdated. It's completely
free it. Let it go. Like freeing the genie from the lamp in Aladdin.
It's outdated, but it's ubiquitous. And that's the main reason that it even sticks around, is because everybody has access to it. And it's hard to replace that with something that's less supported.
Because it's universal and nobody owns it.
I have false hope for you, Ron.
Yeah?
That Google's pushing RCS very hard here at MWC. Part of their Android garden is exclusively dedicated to it. They've got a tram set up and they're demonstrating how a company can push rich RCS messages to people with transit details and travel passes. They've got a stand inside for businesses to come and look at how they can integrate RCS messaging into their products and their services and their offerings as a way of sort of replacing email and QR codes and a whole pile of other systems, and just have all of it done through RCS. So they're pushing it heavily, but you know how what's going to happen, Ron.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, the positive is that RCS is backwards compatible with SMS.
Yeah.
So those that do get on board.
Not backwards compatible.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm saying that. Right.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, a backwards messaging service. That'd be great. You get a text and it's completely like
in
you
reverse.
Hold it up to the mirror to read it.
Oh, it's like an analog protection. Yes, that's analog
messaging.
Protection. I like it.
Yeah,
this needs. Good. This is a messaging app.
That's
you
a
get
good
behind.
Idea.
It's a really good idea.
Next app, Arena.
Well, what about this messaging app? Google is shutting down Spaces. You remember Spaces?
No.
It's strange and redundant group chat room messaging something app.
Well, odd.
Shutting it down on April 2017. Did anyone really use this? They announced this right before Google I.O.
I completely forgot about it, you guys.
Yeah, they announced it right before Google I.O. And it was like, oh, well, this is their new messaging thing. We better use it at I.O. I bet they're going to do a bunch of stuff to support it in cool ways at Google I.O. And they really didn't.
It's okay. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they just took all that code and just bundled it into like another messaging or
whatever. And that's what
they
say they're going to do. They're going to take the elements that worked and shuffle it into one of their other 20 messaging apps.
As you do, and you should do that. Another sort of, so on to our next sort of last, is this the last bit of our lightning
yes.
round?
Yes, oh yes.
Last bit of our lightning round is this week is GDC in downtown San Francisco. I toiled around yesterday on the show, not the show floor, it's not open yet, but I went to the Google Developer Day yesterday, and there were a couple announcements out of there. So for developers, we've got Firebase support for Unity as well as C++, which is awesome. This will be great for those of you who want to put your games in the Android in the Google Play Store. It also got Play Store improvements, including how apps and games appear in the Play Store to just regular old consumers, so all of us. They'll be weighted more heavily around user engagement rather than the number of downloads. So
nice.
Really,
I like that.
Yeah, it'll depend on how long people are actually using the app, whether they keep it installed, whether they're coming back to it on the daily. And it's also good, you know, just to know what people are sticking to.
Mm-hmm.
There are also going to be improvements for running price promotions for developers in the Play Store while still displaying the original price. So kind of, you know, the strike-through pricing, which...
It's really hard to know when you see a price, whether that's the original price or
whatever. And it's so misleading and sometimes frustrating because you'll pay like $2.99 for an app and then it'll turn $4.99 and then your friend will be like, what the heck? Why'd you tell me to download this expensive app? And you're like, it's only $2 more. But that's beside the point. There are also improvements. There's also curation and editorial feature. There's editorial pages. Curated editorial pages coming in the spring, which I'm very curious about. It's supposed to help us find games around the genres that we like, around the genres that pique our interest. I'm curious to see if it's going to work because I have to tell you, I still have the hardest time finding worthy apps and games to download in the Play Store.
Oh, it's a mess.
It's such a mess, which is why I tend to do the bulk of my App Arena collection in like a couple of hours because it's not something you can do last minute, folks.
Need some time.
Yes. And lastly, and this is pretty exciting. So we've got three games up for a pre-order right now in the Play Store, one of which is a Transformers games. And these are called high fidelity games, which just means they're really high.
Decked out?
Yes, like decked out in their abilities and their processing. And this is the way that I understand it. It's just that they're very like high graphics.
Not super simple mobile.
Very well rendered, like super amazing gameplay on your device.
On your Daydream device. Okay.
Yeah, no, this is not for Daydream. I'm sorry. This is just for your Android smartphone. So there are three regular old games for regular peeps coming out. And then there's two Daydream VR games coming out. One of which is the Rabbids from Ubisoft, as we all know. And the second one, which I'm really excited for, is Beartopia, which is going to be a game that you can come back to every day and there'll be like new things to add. So it'll kind of be like, I want to say a Second Life, but maybe not as, I'm not sure if it'll be that community oriented. And you go back every day and you're sort of like helping other people that you run into the game build their new life in this utopia of bears.
I never leave.
It's about immigration. It's about immigrating to a new place and starting a new community. Yes, as a bear. Yeah, and it's from Spry Fox, so the makers of Alpha Bear and Triple Town.
Sweet.
And I'm going to try and get demos with those this week because the show floor opens tomorrow, so that's when we can finally like go and demo stuff.
Nice. All right. Let us know tomorrow. I'm sure, who knows, maybe it'll end up in the arena next week. I don't want to spoil
it. Oh, well, it's not out yet. Those two titles.
So you can't get them out.
Five titles will not be out until this spring.
Fine.
And spring is, by the way, I'm starting to realize spring is like the happy time for Google peeps. Because that's when all the Google plants their seeds in, you know, the late winter. And then in the spring, these beautiful apps and services just sprout up from the ground. And they're presented to us in Mountain View.
where we all share
the
sunburns.
Bouquet of apps and services.
Yeah, very nice. Oh, and Duncan hit me up in chat real quick to mention thank you for this. Google I.O. acceptance emails
yes.
are going out right now. Super quick after the close. It's like
and
the day
declines.
After. What's that?
And declines.
Do they let you know if you're declined or do they only
yeah,
let
they
you
do,
know if you're...
Oh.
It's like yeah. college. It's like college acceptance letters.
It is.
It's like, oh, I got the email into the.
No, you want the package. You don't want just the email. You want yeah. the thick package to come in the mail.
Duncan, the are you email. Going to I.O.?
Not currently. I didn't get the nicely worded email.
Okay.
But there's still hope.
Yeah, there is. I feel like every year at about this time, I still don't know whether I'm going for Twitter or not. And,
yeah.
then suddenly, a couple of weeks later, like I feel like I can rest easily because something happens. I'm not even sure how it happens. We'll see. This could
I
be the first.
Daniel,
what's that?
I believe Daniel's been accepted, so you'll be able to bump into him.
All right. Let's see if he can bring some Tim Tams with him. I don't ask for much. Just Tim Tams, apparently.
You know you can get them in Target now.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, I did actually saw
they
you
show like all
this.
They have all special edition ones on clearance yep. now.
Yeah, still it's even better when somebody from Australia brings it to you. I don't know, it just makes it taste even better.
It's like a Jaffy cake.
Yeah. I'm sure he will.
All right, hey, before we get into all the Mobile World Congress stuff, of which there is a lot, let's take a quick break and thank the sponsor of today's episode. That is BarkBox. BarkBox. It's for your dog. If you have a dog, you're gonna love this. BarkBox delivers 4 to 6 natural treats and fun toys. For your dog, it's curated around a surprise theme every month. BarkBox Paw picks the best all-natural treats and innovative toys to match your dog's unique needs, including things like allergies and if you have a dog that's a heavy chewer, those kinds of preferences. All edibles are made in the USA or Canada, and 100% of their products are tested on animals. Of course, they're tested on their own animals before they send it to your animal. BarkBox is a great way to try a variety of treats and toys from local and small businesses that you may not otherwise be able to find. There's a lot of boutique stuff that they end up including in these boxes that you aren't going to find locally. BarkBox also makes their own paw ducks. Of course, through their Bark & Co. brand. They've shipped over 16 million toys and treats so far. And it's all very super, super easy to get started. You choose your dog size. So if you have a small and cute dog that's up to 20 pounds, if you have the just right variety that's 20 to 50 pounds, or big and bold that's 50 plus pounds, then you choose a plan. You can choose 1, 6, or 12 month plans. All those are available. Bark boxes are shipped on the 15th of every month. So you get the box, you open it up, and it's going to keep your dog engaged, interested, and happy with all the things you're going to find in there. If your dog doesn't happen to like something in the Bark Box, they'll send you something else for free. Pretty awesome there. When your dog falls in love with something from the box, you can easily find it again. You just go to BarkShop.com, or you can use the Bark Box app to find it. And you can cancel anytime with shipping free anywhere in the continental U.S. So give your dog the joy of a million belly scratches. Get 1 month free and free shipping with your 6 or 12 month subscription by visiting getbarkbox.com/twit. That's getbarkbox.com/twit. And we thank BarkBox for their support. Every time I read this, I realize, man, I need to get a dog. I need to get a dog.
That's a lot of work.
I know.
I have a dog sleeping about 4 feet away from me, and I'm glad I'm wearing headphones so she couldn't hear you talking about BarkBox. Because then she'd be like, I want one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But paw ducks?
Yeah.
Did somebody say paw ducks? All right, Kara, I hope you are ready. It's time for hardware. Oh, yeah. You got the right hardware bumper and everything. You're like a pro.
Good job. Well done.
You know what you're doing.
So,
you're comfy.
So Mobile World Congress is pretty exciting. And one of the most hotly anticipated phones launched there, the BlackBerry Key One.
Oh, yes.
Lordy, lordy, lordy. Oh, look. Who's holding one up right now?
Oh, fine. Just rub it in. Why don't you?
So, Duncan, give us the rundown. How is it truly as good as it's been hyped up to be?
It is a beautiful phone. It's really well made. For those who've held an old school BlackBerry, it's got a really similar tactile feel. You know, they've done a great job of bringing the form factor of old to the Android of new. It's got a lot of great features. You know, the fingerprint sensor is actually built into the the home key down the bottom. In the software, they've done a lot of interesting things with the actual keyboard itself. So, you know, when you're typing, you still get predictive text coming up the bottom, and you get the three normal options that you'd get. And you can simply just swipe up from any third of the keyboard, and that'll just select that one. And I was actually able to type an entire sentence without ever actually having to type a word, just by moving which third of the keyboard I was swiping up and down in. Now, of course, that wasn't a sentence I was intending on creating. That was an algorithmic sentence based on obviously the most common words next. But I was, you know, I typed a completely sensical sentence. And then when I was typing a real sentence, it actually was quite fast to be able to just sort of swipe up rather than having to get your hand all the way up there and maybe hit it, maybe hit the key underneath it, maybe hit nine. It's just swipe, 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 swipe. And so that's actually a really interesting part of it. I'm personally not a big fan of the solid keyboard, but, you know, going through the phone, it's got a 4.5-inch IPS display. It's a 1680 by 1080, so it's not quite 1080p, simply because it doesn't have the vertical real estate. It's got a Snapdragon 625, which was more than adequate for, you know, what it's been doing, 3 gigabytes of RAM, 32 gigabytes of storage, a 3,500 milliamp hour battery, USB-C, fast charging, headphone port, as it should have. All phones should have a headphone jack.
it's starting to go away.
Duncan, very quickly, you know, regarding the processor, I think that was one of the biggest complaints that I saw scrolling through Twitter on Saturday, which is, I believe, when the announcement was made of the key one. I mean, what do you have? You just said so yourself, which is perfectly adequate. So, I mean, do you have, what do you think about the processor in this particular?
I think in the last year or two, the Snapdragon 6 series has become really quite good. I've used a few phones that have it in it. The true test of any Android phone, as we know, is 6 months down the track, not, you know, using it in a demo hall or carrying around a press unit and sort of living with it for a few days. But having lived with it for a couple of days now, with three of us all sharing it and using it quite heavily, the camera is excellent. We get some really nice shots. The screen on it is really good, and I'm not noticing an issue with the processor yet. Now, we haven't loaded this up with every single app that we normally use and ones that we're not using and blah, blah. So it's always that six-month test, and, you know, I'll probably say that again and again and again about phones I've used, but right now I don't really have any concerns about it having the 625. I think the specs war might be coming close to being over.
Man, I wish there was some way to test that. As reviewers, I wish there was some way to, like, figure out how to test these phones in the way that only time does. You know what I mean? Over the course of however many months where you're installing all these apps, you get to the point. You're right. When you see the longevity of a device, and it's really difficult to get there when you're reviewing a device when it's first being released.
I wonder if there's some way to set up an emulation mode where you measure the degradation to the processor as well as to the memory as well as to the battery, and like, okay, make this phone act if it's 3 months old, 6 months old, a year old, you know, like if it's replicatable in terms of the speed loss and things like that. You know, we see the phone slow down after time. Like, can you set a percentage to that and then, you know, basically handicap the phone to replicate that? That's really interesting, Jason. I'm fascinated by that.
Doesn't temperature affect performance and light, environment and things of the sort? Because I feel like that would be a very difficult thing to...
It would be really hard to do, especially measure. When you consider like things like updates, security updates, you know, things that happen where they update the OS, underlying OS. And I mean, you can't do that in advance. You know, there's no way to account for that. You're just assuming that the OS that it ships with is the same version that's going to have when you run that test, which is not the case. Mm-hmm. At least if it's a good OEM, it's not the case, because they update their devices. One would hope.
And this one will be updated. The reason I've got an hour's sleep is I've actually just come from an event with TCL where they had their new head of BlackBerry there and a couple of the Asia Pacific representatives. And we, you know, spoke with them at length, and, you know, they're taking the the caretakership of the BlackBerry name incredibly seriously. You know, they do, you know, they went to working very closely with BlackBerry back in Canada, and, you know, both the hardware and the software and the way it's integrated, they really seem to be quite dedicated to maintaining the BlackBerry of old whilst bringing it into the Android of new. And, you know,
right. This
device is really quite nice. Now, if you're not a keyboard lover, and I don't know if I am, it may not be for you, but I think they have to be given credit for making a really nice device.
Yeah, as far as the new Redux of BlackBerry devices, it definitely harkens to the successful age of BlackBerry. I would love to kind of get it and play around with it a little bit myself.
Soon.
Moving on, we've got Samsung. Of course, Samsung did not announce, you know, the Galaxy S8, which it normally would
but
have.
But it did announce when it would be announcing the Galaxy S8.
Absolutely. March 29th in New York City. That is going to happen. They send out invites for the Unpacked event for then. But they did announce the Galaxy Tab S3. Apparently, Duncan has almost everything we're talking about. Or maybe you don't have the S3 in hand, or do you?
No S3.
But you have a promotional materials.
I did get to go hands on with the Tab S3.
Oh, you did? When?
Yes.
I missed that. Excellent.
Yes, I heard about those S Pen Stadler S Pens.
So Duncan has swag.
Yeah, he has
you
swag.
You got to go.
So I actually got to use the Galaxy Tab S3, and having been a Galaxy Tab S2 user actually for about 2 and something years now, since its original debut in 2015. Wonderful tablet. I had the 8-inch one. It was a wonderful tablet. It still goes everywhere with me. I read magazines and watch movies and read everything on. It's my reading device. The screen on it is fantastic. The Tab S3 is meant for a slightly more high-end user, kind of like the tablet user that wants to give, you know, the tablet user that wants to give themselves a present of just like a really nice
premium
tablet. This thing is dense. It is not like the kind of tablet that you just kind of throw on the bed. You lay it on the bed softly because it's a really
you lay it down gently.
It's made of metal and glass. I was actually kind of scared when I was handling it during the hands-on because I was afraid I would drop it and scratch it right there in front of Samsung. The S Pen also comes with it in the box, which is super awesome because this thing it's kind of a nice little productivity machine if you like the idea of having a tablet replace, you know, your laptop in some capacity.
Right.
It's not an iPad Pro kind of situation here already. I think that you might want to look to the Windows-based tablets that Samsung also announced at MWC, the Galaxy Books.
So this is almost for like, if you thought the Pixel C was a good idea,
yes,
this is another solution
precisely.
For you.
If you like the Pixel C, but you didn't like the interface on the Pixel C, I actually think that the Tab S3 might be more up your alley. There's just something about the integration of the S Pen.
Right.
You could see the way it's like kind of rolling around there. You know, we're not fans of Samsung's Grace UI. I understand that. But when you see it on a tablet, it makes sense, which is part of the reason I really liked the Tab S2. Also, there's an optional keyboard folio that you can buy for it. They are not the kind of keys that I could see myself typing for a prolonged period of time, but
looked like they were a little deeper than some of them that I've
seen. You guys remember that ridiculous Logitech keyboard I was bringing with my Tab S2? Oh, yeah,
I remember that.
Just like that.
Okay.
So it's kind of nice. They rise up enough to kind of give you that.
You want a little bit of travel on those keys. Sometimes they're super flat and it just feels so wrong.
Well, for me, my problem with the keyboard issue is the narrowness of the keyboard. I am I'm all over typer. I like to have room to grow.
I feel that way about the Pixel C keyboard attachment too. That things feel just a little too narrow for me to live my life on it.
Yeah, so
reasons.
Just a couple other things to rally off some specs. 9.7-inch Quad HD Super AMOLED display. It is an first HDR display, Samsung says. First HDR tablet display, Samsung says. It is beautiful and vibrant and bright, but, you know, you would get that with a Tab S2, quite frankly. You won't really notice the difference too much. The S Pen doesn't dock, so that's going to be a bit of a bummer. You will have to kind of figure out a pencil pouch situation for that. Comes with a Snapdragon 820 on the inside, 4 gigs of RAM, 6,000 milliamp battery pack, 32 gigs of storage, micro SD, USB-C, fast charging, Wi-Fi and LTE availability, if you'd like that. Also, very lastly, it has four stereo speakers, two on the top, two on the bottom, which will orient depending on how you're holding the tablet. So if you're holding it landscape or portrait mode, and they're tuned by AKG, which is, I guess, owned by Harman Kardon. So,
Beats. Nice. All right. Ron, are you in the market for an upgraded premium tablet? Do you care?
I might be, but there might be some other tablets further down the show that I'll be more interested in. Maybe.
Interesting. Okay.
Maybe. I mean, I'm not a big Samsung fan, so I'd be looking for some other ones. But this does look interesting, and it's neat. I like what they're doing. You know, they're making, like Flo said, it's a high-end side of things. So it's very nice.
And Duncan, you were at the show. Did you get a chance to play around with it a little bit? What's your quick thought?
I did. So I was at the launch event. It's a refresh. It's a new Android tablet. I do use an Android tablet here and there. I'm glad it's come out and there's still someone making devices in this space. But personally, I'm waiting for a really good detachable or 360-degree Chromebook with Android apps.
Mm-hmm. Well, this
well, we just
good.
Can't please you then, can we, Duncan?
You could. Flo could send me that and I'll send her some pins.
some of those Android pins, yes. I don't know if that's
Give
an equal trade. They might be collectible pins, so you could sell them for something. All right, so we got, what's up next?
We've got...
Yeah, what is that?
Very fingerprinty. LG G6, and I do apologize that I did not clean it before the cameras went on. My bad.
Which I think is fair, because that's a more realistic portrayal.
It is a realistic portrayal as I try and like clean it off. So listen, kids, here we have the LG. Here we have the LG G6. Hoping nothing sensitive shows off.
Ooh, that does look nice.
So noticed the narrow screen. Very narrow.
It's narrow. Look, it doesn't look overly narrow, though.
Not overly narrow.
Look at those rounded corners.
Very rounded. Oh, yeah.
They are, yeah. Rounded. They're very
by default,
obvious.
Doesn't need Ron's rounded corner app.
No, it doesn't. Rounded. You don't need corner fly.
Or
corner
so, fly, whatever. This is a pre-production LG G6, which means it's not finalized. That is the one disclaimer I must give. But it is straight off the factory belt in Korea. Or something of that sort. And it's got a 5.7-inch Quad HD LCD display with HDR10 support. So it has that same HDR support that we were just talking about in the Tab S3. It comes in 32 and 64 gigs of storage with an expansion slot, which I believe is right here in this little area that pops out. That's also where you put the SIM card. Inside, it's got a 3,300 milliamp battery pack, which I think is going to be pretty good. USB-C on the bottom. We got those wonderful stereo speakers going on here. IP68 resistant. Headphone jack. Really nice sort of... I should have taken off the stickers. Really nice aluminum design. Glass and metal. From what I understand, it's got a couple different versions of Gorilla Glass covering this thing, though, which is a little confusing. The other thing that this has is wireless charging, which both PMA and Qi, so it doesn't really matter what kind of charger you have at home. And also, it's got dual rear 13-megapixel cameras for making pretty pictures. That's actually... something I'm going to be testing out this week against the LG V20 as I'm downtown at GDC just shooting photos. So I'm going to be looking forward to seeing, because that one has a dual camera set up as well. And it also has the optional wide angle camera, which this one does too. But the difference on that one, the V20, is that those are two different sensors on the back there. This one is both 13 megapixel, 5 megapixel on the front, right? 5? Yes, I hope.
I can't remember.
I think it's 5.
I didn't put it in there, apparently.
It is 5.
It is 5. Thank you, Duncan. There's a lot of specs to keep.
There's a lot. And listen, especially there's a lot of hardware to get through tonight. There's a lot of hardware. Yeah.
So no price, no availability other than this spring.
A fingerprint sensor on the back and home button. I love this little thing. Very fast, just as fast as on the Pixel and the Nexus 6P and the Huawei phones that we've used.
They're all pretty fast at this point, right?
Yeah. This is a nice little phone.
Oh, can I pod it?
Yeah, you can pod it.
Okay. Ooh, it's nice.
Doesn't it feel nice?
Double tap to wake.
I don't know if I said that. Oh, I did. Good thing I put it on sensitive because apparently I'm getting Instagram messages.
Duncan, real quick, what are your thoughts? Because you have this as well, right?
I do. I have one in my hand. Look, it's a really nice device. It's interesting how they've pulled off the extra screen space they're talking about by increasing the length of it, which then has some hypotenuse math working in its favor to make the diagonal larger without having to make the screen too much larger in general. But it's a really nice device in hand. I actually like the fact that it's a 1:1 ratio. So, you know, it's twice as high as it is wide. And they showed off at the event some concept apps where when you rotate it, what happens is the top and the bottom of the app just seamlessly move over next to each other. And so you end up with the same view, but just moved into landscape because it's got exactly the same amount of space to do that with two 1:1 boxes just sliding around.
I'm still trying to figure out that feature, by the way, Duncan. Sorry to interrupt. I'm still trying to figure out that one feature because apparently it will like just scale the apps that you're using, no problem. But maybe I just haven't really used an app that needs that. I'm not sure.
I'm finding the same thing. That's why I think it's concept. I haven't actually seen it work. Unfortunately, the wireless charging is region dependent. USA is definitely getting it, but it, not sure yet about Europe and Asia Pacific.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a real bummer.
They did that with the G4.
Why not? Did they say it's because of licensing or, I mean, I wonder if it,
I didn't get an answer worth repeating.
I wonder if it has to do with a lot. You know, they have the wireless alliances. Anyway, lots of speculation in that. But that is a true bummer for people who are considering this overseas.
Lots of chitchy devices in Asia Pacific. So the fact that it has both means that it shouldn't really be an issue. But anyway, it's just something to know that if you're not in the US, you may not be getting wireless charging.
Hmm. Now, it's a great phone. One thing real quick, Duncan, in the side chat, and then I just put it in the doc for you, Kara, underneath the LG links. There's a pick for Kara that I labeled it. One thing that is a theme that we've been hearing about is like this less of a bezel kind of a style approach. Bezel-less. It's hard to call this bezel-less.
Oh, who's been the pioneer of bezel-less? I have.
And then this just happened. Evan Blass, EvLeaks on Twitter, leaked what is purported to be the Samsung Galaxy S8 following...
But guys, is this any different than the Edge?
Yeah, if you tap that, it'll full screen it.
Looks like a natural extension of the Edge.
This looks nice. I mean, going back to the G6, look at those rounded corners.
I know, right? The rounded corners. So not only is it the lack of bezels or less bezels, which I guess is what bezel-less means.
Fewer bezels.
But also rounded corners is a thing that's coming around. So there we go.
Yeah, no, actually, yeah, Duncan, thanks for calling this out when I was talking about rounded corners. And this just got posted a half an hour ago by Ev, friend of the show, Ev Leaks. Thank you for mentioning that, Ron.
He is a friend of the show.
I gotta admit, Samsung hardware industrial design getting sexy. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they have sexy and design, right? I mean, now they do.
That photo orbit confirms iris unlock. If you look at the top of it, you can see the extra sensors required to send out the, I think it's infrared to do that. So, you know, not that we weren't expecting it, but I think we now can say it's locked in.
It's iris locked in.
Or it's unlocked in.
Both work.
The Note 8 was gorgeous, and I was really sad when they took it off me. So I'm really excited for the S8.
Everybody's still mourning.
Is it on the run sheet?
We're still mourning the loss of the Note 7.
It's okay. The S8's right around the corner, and I have a feeling it's going to have a lot of similar yumminess to it.
It's not the Note 7.
All right, Ron, you're up next. Go.
Yeah, so we were talking about tablets, and maybe I'd be interested in a Lenovo tablet. Who knows?
Wow.
Says Lenovo rolls out the Tab 4 and Tab 4 Plus. Duncan, by any chance, do you have one of these in your magic bag of swag from MWC, or did you get to play with these at all, or...?
I don't have one in a magic bag of swag, but I did make my way over to the stand yesterday. And look, I've always been a fan of their tablets. And look, it was nice. I really liked it. I also really like their stand-up tablets they do with the base. I've got an 8 inch one of those, and that just makes an absolutely perfect bedside tablet.
I kind of like that too, actually. Because then you don't,
Yeah, these are really interesting tablets. I'll be honest. So there's an 8-inch or a 10-inch display. So you get two variants of the Tab 4. Running Snapdragon 425 with 2 gig of RAM, 16 or 32 gig of storage. Selling for $109 or $149, which is a very reasonable price for a 10-inch tablet, by the way. And the Tab 4 Plus variants are 8 or 10-inch display, Snapdragon 625, so a little more processing power, 3 gig of RAM, a little more RAM, and 16 or 32 gig storage options with a fingerprint reader. And those are $199 or $249. Again, very reasonable prices for, I mean, this might be my next tablet after my Nexus 9.
Why not? Yeah. I mean, because the other premium stuff that's going to come out is probably going to cost a lot. And Lenovo makes good tablets. I mean, they make pretty stuff. It's the software I worry about, though. But
yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we got to see what it looks like in the wild. But what's interesting is that they also have a couple of variations of these. There's the optional kid pack for $20 or $25, depending on the size, 8 or 10 inches. And you get a shock-resistant case, a screen protector, and a blue light filter. So if you're looking for a tablet for your kids, that's a really interesting option. Hmm. And there's also a productivity pack for $50 extra, which gives you a Bluetooth keyboard and a matching case. So if you're using your tablet to be productive, you need a keyboard, you need a case, you got to be on the go. These are going to be available in May, and I'm very curious about them.
Oh, just in time for someone's birthday, some people's birthdays.
On the same day.
Maybe Flo, it could be like the gift of the Magi. We'll each get each other a Lenovo tablet.
The same tablet. It's all you shouldn't have.
I sold my Nexus 9 to buy you this Lenovo tablet.
I would sell something for you.
Would you sell your spectacles, your Snapchat spectacles? Anyway, you got to sell something you cherish. That's the gift of the Magi.
That's the point.
But Lenovo isn't stopping there at MWC. We got the Motorola G5 Plus. And Duncan, by any chance, did you get to see this? Any first impressions of the G5 Plus?
I did.
That or G5, like just regular G5?
I was at the launch event at the beautiful W Hotel here in Barcelona.
Right by the beach.
And I did get to play with both of the devices. The very first thing I did when I picked them up was go straight to the cameras and test how the cameras were going, because the two things that are missing at the lower or the mid to lower end of the market is a decent camera and security updates. And we'll get on to the security updates in a second. This camera is fast. It loaded fast. It focused fast. It took pictures fast. Both models support burst mode. And I was really impressed. Now, again, I'm in a well-lit.
We got a little bit of connectivity blanking out. I can see that his video froze a little bit on this.
All right. Well, here, I'll pick it up from there.
Yeah, pick it up.
Yeah. So, it's great to hear that the cameras are so good. Some of the specs on the G5. It's a 5-inch phone with 1080p LCD display. It's got a Snapdragon 430, front-facing fingerprint reader. It's got a metal frame, which I do love that. 13-megapixel camera, 2,800 milliamp battery, and it's selling for €199. Or the G5 Plus, if you're looking for a little more phone, it's a 5.2-inch 1080p LCD with a Snapdragon 625, mostly metal body, 3,000 milliamp battery, 12-megapixel camera with a f1.7 aperture, and that starts at $229. No NFC in the U.S. release, which makes you really wonder why they would do that. I feel like it's been like a year before it's been a year since we last debated the value of NFC, but
the
here
necessity,
it is again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the other question is, didn't LG release a phone called the G5?
Yes.
This is weird. A little weird.
It's going to get, I don't know. Yeah, I guess you're right. But, did people really buy the G5? That was the other thing.
Yeah, so they're just going to swoop in and take we're going to rename the G5. We're going to take it back because we're going to make it ours. I don't know. But what I think is even most interesting about Motorola's announcement at MWC is that Lenovo and Motorola and Amazon have a deal to integrate Amazon's voice assistant into Moto phones. So you can get Amazon in a Motorola phone, in a Moto phone, a little competition for the Google Assistant. It's spreading past just the Echo devices onto phones. Flo, what do you make of this?
I'm just thinking about the Fire Phone. I just immediately thought about the Fire Phone and, well, I guess good for Amber.
And realizing that everybody needs a Fire Phone. So, no.
No.
Well, I mean, the Fire Phone was a completely different realm than what's happening here. But, you know, very interesting considering that the Google Assistant is coming to some of our favorite Android phones. And then we're going to have a lot of some other phones. So, what? Very interesting. I mean, is this going to be the fragmentation of artificial intelligence?
I mean, yeah, that's been the one thing about. I mean, now we're kind of deviating into voice assistants, but like everybody is the folks with Amazon Echoes love it, and they love Alexa and all that sort of stuff. But it's been limited just to those devices. If we see Alexa jumping off the Echo metaphorically onto other devices, that could really increase that footprint and give the Google Assistant a run for its money. And that's why, you know, going back to earlier in the show, talking about Assistant rolling out, Jason, maybe sooner than we thought, but it's, you know, they got to get it out to stem the tide of Alexa.
Yeah, totally. Well, because Amazon is on a roll with its voice assistant, and it's getting a lot of uptick from, you know, a lot of support from hardware manufacturers, not just smartphones. Obviously, smartphones seems to actually be one of the more recent integrations, but you're getting it with a lot of in-home, you know, smart home devices and everything. There's a lot of pickup on Amazon. So, yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
Do you guys think, you know what? It's actually, this is going to be really good because that means that people who don't want to spend a ton of money can still have some premium features, you know, in a Motorola device. And those things sold like hotcakes at Christmas, the Amazon.
They sure did, and now people are coding those. They're able to code. What are they called? I don't have one.
The Pi, the Raspberry Pi.
No, not the Pi. No. People can code their own instruction sets or whatever.
The skills.
The skills. That's what it is. Skills. I'm sorry. Yeah. So, you know, now that people are coding, you know, and being able to do their own skills, and it's increasing that library, it's just increasing its reach and increasing its usefulness. You know, that's something that, you know, we're all dying and waiting for Assistant. Every time I open up my Google Home app and look to see what a new integration is, I pray it's something I actually use. So, yeah, it's going to be the race, is being able to increase the usefulness of these devices and the assistants or the to folks. That's really going to be the definer. Blatant excuse to talk about Google Home. I'm really struggling with the one sentence length of a conversation with the assistant, though. I want to answer the next question. I want to ask it the next question and have it know what I'm talking about. That's the next frontier.
Oh, it's like having the world's slowest conversation.
Yeah, right.
Like that sloth scene from Zootopia. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Because you ask it a question and then it gives you the answer, and then I would want to do a follow-up question, but it's forgotten that. Like it's going to need to be able to maintain a conversation. We're talking assistant or instead of just the call and response that we have now, but I'm sure they're working on that.
I have to imagine they're working on that because Google's proven that that's possible in other ways. Yeah. So it needs to, extension for there. We're still working on getting Duncan back, of course, having some internet issues. Who knows? Maybe AWS is rearing its ugly head once again. Don't know that for sure. But anyways, we'll keep trying in the back end. Thank you, Kara, for doing that. But moving on, Nokia is, basically introducing a number of Android phones at the show via HMD Global, which is kind of the holding company now. Three new phones, the Nokia 6, which is kind of has a global release now. I think it was isolated to China before. Now it's open up globally. 5.5-inch 1080p display, 3 gigs of RAM, Snapdragon 430, 8 megapixel wide angle, front-facing camera. So wide-angle front-facing camera, aluminum body. Also has an art black edition that upgrades some of the specs and brings a glossy finish.
Hey.
You need a little premium.
And art is spelled
A-R-T-E.
There's got to be a reason for that.
If you need premium in your mid-range, there you go. $242 to $315 for those. There's also the Nokia 5, which is a 5.2-inch display. Ramp down specs. It has a Snapdragon 430. Design is aluminum. Some of the reviews that I said say that it has a really nice curved edge that makes it feel sturdy, almost kind of like more premium than the other two models. So
fair enough.
There you go. Nougat Q2 for $199 released in the second quarter.
That white one's cute.
Yeah, it looks nice. I like the roundness that we're talking about there. And then the Nokia 3, 5-inch display, 2 gigs of RAM, ramped down even further, MTK 6737 processor.
MediaTek.
That makes more sense.
FYI.
I'm like, never.
Sorry. Okay.
No, I appreciate that. Polycarbonate design, aluminum frame, Nougat Q2 for $147. So definitely the lower end of the devices.
$150 for phone.
Yeah, so Nokia with Android running on it. Do we like these
designs?
Okay,
we don't want to talk about this phone. Let's talk about the actual phone we want to talk about from Nokia.
Really? You want to talk about the one that doesn't run Android?
I know.
But still.
5 seconds. Let's talk about it.
Why couldn't they just do it? Why couldn't they just put Android on that dang phone?
let's see here. So what we were talking about, of course, is the Nokia 3310. The redux of the old classic candy bar Nokia phone that so many people had.
The classic design.
The indestructible Nokia device. Of course, this is not running Android. It's a feature phone. It's running Nokia's feature phone
OS.
How cute
it is.
But it's, it's a little cute. Does it capture the old design? Or is it a little too
new? This is what I would take with me if I were just like traveling the world and just, just gone rogue.
Yeah.
Like I would just take this with me.
Does this even work in the U.S.?
I believe it's, didn't they say it was only 2G?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Please tell me it's like
supposed to work in the lowest of low markets, or I guess.
Well,
not the lowest of low. Gosh,
man. It's funny. I've read so many articles about this, but I never once actually looked into like whether it actually would work in the U.S. I'm just like, the design is just so
nice. Right, because we're not going to buy one because we don't need one. We have a smart. I mean, we can't do our jobs without a smartphone.
Yeah, so tell me though, if that phone, if they didn't integrate a physical keyboard, because I'm not going back to T9, or some sort of virtual keyboard, and that wasn't running, and that was running Android, you wouldn't be all over that flow?
A keyboard. That's too far back. We've come a long way.
We've come a long way. Yeah.
Come a long way since texting phones with full QWERTY. Like, I just can't.
T9, man.
We got to stop going backwards in time.
No, retro.
We need to move forward.
Nostalgia is a dangerous thing.
As we've seen, it's a very dangerous thing. But who knows? Maybe the 3310 will sell really well in lower-end markets. Scratched Jason. Sorry,
it's okay.
Jason.
It's okay.
I was getting really animated about the 3310.
It's okay. Can you get excited about Huawei?
So the P10, which also has a 10 in the name, that was true. That was announced at MWC as well. That is just a spec-packed device. Unfortunately, it's not coming to the U.S., but we're going to tell you about it anyway. It's got a 5.1-inch 1080p display, 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of storage, a 3,200 milliamp battery pack. There's also a P10 Plus, which has a 5.5-inch quad HD display, 6 gigabyte... Wait, quad HD? Is that quad HD? It's quad HD.
Mm-hmm.
It's quad HD.
Did I put that in there?
And 6
gigs
of RAM.
Yeah.
And 128 gigs of storage and a majorly whopping 3,750 milliamp battery.
How big is that battery? That's enormous.
That's a big battery. So both of these devices have a Huawei's Kirin 960 processor on the inside, micro SD expansion slot, Leica dual camera system on the back, which shoots in monochrome and color, which sort of helps like the color composition of the pictures you're taking.
Look at that.
Also, we have Duncan back, who's showing us the P10 right now on the television.
How big is that battery on the television?
Is that the plus or is that the reg?
That's the reg.
So what do you think? You've had a very short amount of time to pod. What do you think about it?
Managing editor of the site claimed this one almost instantaneously. So my time with it has been limited, but it's a really nice device. Being the 5.1 inch, does fit in the hand really well. It's really quite zippy. I certainly have no issue with the processor so far. The cameras are really quite nice. Having not had a lot of hands-on with it, I really can't tell, but it's beautiful to hold. Huawei really know how to make a nice phone. The engineering tolerances and everything are just absolutely gorgeous. The fingerprint sensor is really fast. The display is nice. Now let's unlock this thing.
But it's not coming to the U.S., right?
I'm not sure. We get these in Australia. Huawei is quite a big brand in Australia. So that's
not coming to the U.S.
We're certainly getting them.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately.
You're missing out.
We're just going to have to travel to Australia and pick one up and then come back. Well, actually, we'll travel to Australia, pick one up,
and hang out. Can't we just go to Canada? It's closer. Man,
but I want a reason to go to Australia.
No.
I need a reason to go to Australia.
To Australia.
Yeah.
When you went to the little bit that fell off.
Oh, me? When I went to New Zealand? What a wonderful country. Anyway, so yeah, that's the B10. It's a really... the internet's just been super excited about it. And by the internet, I mean Android bloggers and journalists.
Yeah.
But I've been reading a little bit about it this week. And too bad I won't be able to touch it anytime soon. But what we may be touching someday soon is a Watch 2.
Huawei Watch 2
and the Watch 2 Classic, which were both officially debuted at Mobile World Congress 2017. And here they are. And ladies, I'm willing to bet you're not interested in any of... Well, maybe some of you are, actually.
They're sporty and manly
looking. Some ladies... It doesn't matter. You are who you are, and sometimes you like to wear these things. I personally do not enjoy the aesthetics of the new Watch 2. I'm definitely more partial to the Watch first gen.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, is it because this is sportier? Because the first one still had kind of like a rugged quality to it.
It's because these are a lot sportier. I'm not really into the sporty thing. We were having a discussion about fitness watches before the show today with Megan. Like I said, I don't really like fitness watches, but... yeah, I like the smartwatches look like real watches.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that as we've been talking about the decline of the wearable segment, the one thing that we always say is the thing that works is fitness trackers and things like that. So I'm not surprised to see watches move in the direction of being sporty.
Absolutely. Right? You're totally right, Ron. Because, I mean, for the most part, nobody's really buying those luxury smartwatches because they're kind of afraid to commit to that. I would imagine they're afraid to commit to that sort of, you know, path, having an expensive smartwatch that is going to be rendered useless in 2 years. Mm-hmm. Not everybody, not all of us can afford that.
Right.
Gold bejeweled watches from Huawei.
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 All right,
Ron.
So, moving on, a little Sony action for you. The Sony Xperia XZ Premium, as the Sony naming just gets more and more ridiculous. Before I go into specs, Duncan, did you get to see this at all at MWC?
I did. So I was in the booth for the launch event, and look, it's a nice phone. There's just I don't know, there's something about the Sony phones that just failed to grab me the last couple of generations. I had the XZ a couple of months before this one, and it's a good phone, but I don't know, I'm not sure what it is that it fails to grab me. The camera on this certainly seems to be interesting, especially with the predictive photos. That was a really nice feature to see. The ultra-fast mode, whilst fun, it runs for 6 seconds, they say, but it actually only captures 0.2 of a second of footage. Mm. So you'd really have to know when to press the button to get that 0.2 of a second, or be filming something that it doesn't matter which 0.2 of a second you catch, like someone juggling fire. I'm pretty certain that all 0.2 of a second of that are pretty awesome. The playbacks are really nice. But the predictive photos was the really interesting one, where if you're framing a shot waiting for some action to happen, you haven't got the reflexes to press the button correctly. And so when you're in the action shot mode, the camera will be watching. And when it sees action, it starts to actually preemptively save photos. And then when you finally mash down on the button, it'll say, well, you mashed down on the button, monkey, but this thing actually happened back there, and it'll pre-select a couple of good photos and go, how about these, so that you've actually caught the action. So it's almost like running a video camera and then snapping off a few shots when it sees something happen. And that's interesting.
But here's the thing. Yeah. I mean, the older Samsung phones kind of had like a little feature that was like that, and then they ended up taking it out of the camera app. I guess what I'm trying to say is Sony has these interesting things that sound interesting and that are maybe a little bit better than previous manifestations, but they don't put any marketing or advertising behind their products. especially in the U.S.
Is that an issue in the U.S. only, or is that in all markets?
I mean, I'm not sure about all markets, but I do know that the Sony phones that were unfolding on the screen look very similar to the Sony phones that came out last year.
And the year before.
And the year before and the year prior. They just look like small incremental increases, nothing particularly groundbreaking.
And they continue to make, they almost price themselves out of the marketplace.
I also agree, because if you
look at these specs of the Xperia XZ Premium, and I want to underline premium, the Snapdragon 835 processor, a 5.5-inch LCD 4K screen at 801 PPI, 4 gig of RAM, 64 gig of storage, 3200 milliamp battery, running Nougat, of course, that 19 megapixel IMX300 camera that we're talking about that can do the 960 frames per second slow motion at 720p. That's just crazy. You know, and if you think about like the Z5 Premium costs $960 previously abroad, we don't have a price for this, but I got to imagine it's going to come close to $1,000 again. It's I don't know who these phones are for. That's why I never see them in the wild.
But what
I am curious about, though, is the Sony Xperia Touch, which is a 100. This is just great. This is a 100 lumen laser diode projector for making any surface a touch surface. And it runs Nougat. It plays games, video calls, watching video, etc. But the battery can only last for an hour, and it's going to be available this spring for a whopping.
What? The battery only lasts for an hour?
The battery lasts for an hour and it costs $1,500.
Okay, so FYI, by the way, they actually prototyped something like this last year at MWC. They were showcasing something like this last year. So I think the product that they have now is just the one that's coming to market. But everything you just said just is ludicrous.
I'm telling you,
this
Florence.
Is like 1990. This is like in the early 2000s when the, you know, MP3 players would come out and they'd have 4 gigs on them and nothing else, or maybe one gig, and they'd only last like 2 hours.
I don't care. Forget about the tablet flow. Buy this for my birthday, please. I want a projector that displays a multi-touch interface
for only 1 hour.
For one hour.
Just keep it plugged in. Who cares about the 1 hour?
It's fine. Yeah,
it's cool that you can use a projector unplugged for an hour. That's cool.
You know,
too.
I could see this being used in schools. By the way,
look how cool this is. This is amazing.
Neat. It's expensive, but this is neat. I love this.
All right. Well, then I guess we're gonna have to go half and half because there's no way in heck that I'm gonna have $1,000 to be able to buy Ron.
That's so cool.
You get to see this in person or no?
I got to see the prototype. Sorry, you were talking to Duncan.
I was asking.
Not talking to me. Sorry.
Look at that! How cool is that? This is cooler than her phone.
Come on. Look at that, Duncan. Did you get a chance to play around with this at all?
Yeah, so I've seen it in the booth. There's actually quite a queue to get to play with it, so that's on my list of things to do for tomorrow after I finish collecting pins. So it certainly looks a lot of fun. I'm not entirely sure which markets it will reach.
Yeah, who's it for?
I'm not entirely expecting.
That's the question.
Yeah, I'm not expecting to see it in Asia Pacific. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think so.
I want one of these so badly. Can we go back to that video? Look at that kid. The kid left his dad a note. They want to go to the beach. The recipe on the counter. Like, that is so cool.
Where do
cool.
they live where they can go to the beach at 6 p.m. at night when dad gets home? That's what I want to know.
That's a good point. This is the coolest thing ever. I'm sorry. Look at it. It is so cool. I want one of these.
All right,
careful, kid. Don't leave it unplugged. He's going to die in an hour.
Have you ever seen a projector work?
Careful,
unplugged?
Lady, don't leave it unplugged. It's going to die while that thing's
in the oven. Have you ever had a battery-powered projector in your life?
Yeah,
no,
they're terrible.
You haven't.
No, actually, you're
this
right.
is cool.
No, I do have a battery-powered projector.
Okay.
It's from Polaroid.
Look at that.
How long does it last?
I actually don't remember.
This is like
from.
Back to the Future. This is amazing. This is
cool.
I want it.
All right. Hey, last couple of items here real quick.
Almost done.
I know. We're almost there. A bit of future-y looking stuff. ZTE Hat showed off its gigabit phone. They say it's the first phone capable of gigabit speeds. That's 10 times LTE speeds. They say it's good for 360-degree VR. Instant cloud storage. Everything you do instantly appears on the cloud, of course, because it's that fast. Fast streaming HD content, of course. No release date, no price, but they got there. ZTE has a gigabit phone.
And lastly, there's the Oppo prototype camera phone with 5x lossless zoom on display at MWC. This is what you hear. 5x lossless zoom.
With zoom.
This is my colleague Derek holding one right now in his hand in this particular video that is being shown on screen. Sorry to the podcast listeners, you're not seeing it. It's a standard angle camera with a zoom lens. But no camera bump, thanks to the quote-unquote periscope zoom technology.
Which is basically like a prism, a little prism inside there that does some magic. And,
just a prototype.
That is really cool.
But, you know, this will be really exciting. But, I mean, I'm not going to buy an Oppo phone because it's probably not going to come here anyway. So I'm just looking forward to the future facing, you know, the reality where this sort of thing comes, you know, becomes more mainstream.
Yeah, I really like the idea of a high quality zoom.
Physical moving lens in a camera. Yeah. I wholeheartedly agree.
So, Duncan, you said it was awesome. So you got to check this out firsthand?
Yeah, I spent quite a bit of time on the stand playing with that after the launch event. It really is quite amazing to be able to zoom in optically without having a massive attachment on the back of the phone. They had that whole miniature village you see set up there. And when you can go, so it's got a 3x optical zoom, and then you can get up to 5x lossless zoom, they call it. Because of the second camera, it merges the optical zoom data with the data from the second camera, and they claim gives you 5x zoom without any loss of image quality. And one thing from their launch event that I found refreshingly honest, or I completely got sucked in, is when they were showing demonstrations between their device and another device, that they'd put up a zoom photo, and, you know, so this is ours, this is our competitors. And in, you know, low light situations and others, theirs still looked grainy. So it didn't look touched up or photoshopped, but the competitors was almost unrecognizable. It almost looked like one of those 16-bit things that Google did a couple of weeks ago. So it really was, you know, quite amazing.
Nice.
Unfortunately, there's no product coming with it in it. If you, depending on who you asked on the stand, say sometime this year, or we're working on it. Mm.
Well, I hope we see more of that, because that is really cool.
All right, guys.
So that's Mobile World Congress. There was absolutely no other announcements. We covered every single. What do you have there, Duncan? What is this?
Oh no! We still have another phone.
So we have many more phones, but I'll treat you to just one more.
Man. Yeah, just one more. Just one more.
Just one more.
So this is a phone just launched by Alcatel. It's their A5 LED. And as people may be able to see, it has something a little bit special. It has an LED panel built into the back. And, you know, if I had music on this and we were to be playing music, it actually pulses the color in time to the music and plays it through. On top of that, it's actually just a really nice phone. It is a mid-spec device, but I don't know how well you can see. But
turn on the brightness a little bit, actually.
Alcatel actually put out.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Really quite stock-looking devices. Not a lot of changes in there. So you can see this is you're never going to see a widescreen, a near Google experience. So it's got a 5.2-inch 720p IPS display. It's got a 64-bit octa-core MediaTek processor, 2 gigabytes of RAM, 16 gigabytes of onboard storage. But the beautiful little thing about this is that it's actually modular in a very similar way to, say, the Moto Z was. And if I just pry the back of this phone off, You can now get to the back, and it has a range of modules. So there's just a style case that can go on the back. There's a battery pack that can go on the back. There's a speaker pack that can go on the back, and it lets you sit it on the table and watch movies or listen to music.
That's a little scary for me. The whole opening the phone, and it's just like the organs are just like exposed. Yep.
That's like old.
That's the way it used to be.
But that was the issue. That was the issue with the G5, though, is that it was kind of a little bit exposed with the modularity. We don't have to go too in depth.
That's the way it used to be.
I'm just saying, it feels like you're opening up its insides.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
LEDs flowing.
So I do like the LEDs.
Okay, LEDs on the back. That reminded me of the Yodaphone, if you remember the Yodaphone. Or is it Yoda?
I don't know. I called it Yoda.
Yeah, I never knew if it was Yoda or Yada.
Yoda.
Yodaphone.
Russian phone.
I love that.
Where it had the kind of monochrome e-ink screen on the back. But this is LCD. Is it anything on the back other than just like flashy lights that do, I mean, can it read any data or information, or is it just kind of neat to look at?
No, not yet. I mean, it can be programmed using an app to do different things, I'm told. I only just got this phone earlier on this evening, just before I went to bed. So I'm sorry I didn't stay up for the 1 hour I had to sleep and learn more about this phone.
Oh, my gosh. We should just call today's show 1 hour of sleep.
I'm so sorry,
It's all good. It's all good. It is coming to the US market. I've actually just read it at the bottom of our post that, full disclosure, it turns out that part of my trip here was sponsored by Alcatel, who released this phone. So I suppose I need to say maybe the same thing for the BlackBerry as well, because that's owned by the same parent company, TCL. So just full disclosure there. At the moment you can't get any readout or any notifications. And that would be cool that if you could have, you know, if there's a dot blue here, you're getting a notification from Telegram, or if there's a green dot over there, you've got something from Hangouts. But on the other hand, LEDs.
Yeah, it's like a disco ball.
The LEDs is like, it's funny because I know it's modular and that's not, it's a gimmick and I don't see any practical use for that other than just being like, hey, my phone lights up.
But other than holding it up and going, LEDs.
Yeah, exactly. And when you're playing music and it's lighting up like that, that's fun. But but whatever.
Cool.
It's no multi-touch projection display. That's all.
Good point.
They're trying to appeal to what they're calling the immediate crowd.
Nice. Awesome.
All right.
Well, that's an exhaustive look at Mobile World Congress.
Just pooped.
This episode every year, man. This is a tough one because it's
I'm
a lot of
hard work. I'm not usually here for this episode. You guys usually do this on your own.
That's true, right? Well, welcome.
This is really tiring.
Okay, hey, let's come down a little bit. Let's check out some email. Ron, you got it first.
Yeah, we got an email. Chris wrote in, or /Chris, as he signed it, with a little constructive criticism for the show. Jason Flo, I hope you're sitting down. Chris says, hello. Don't you think it's a bit silly to call famous people, i.e. Ev Leaks, the Google employee, and so on, friends of the show, because they were on your show one time? Do you do the same IRL? It's very cringe, IMO. It's so obvious you do it because they are famous.
In air quotes.
Well, Chris, do you think it's a bit silly not to pick up on irony and jokes? Because sometimes I do too.
But you guys, when I meet a person for the first time, they instantly become my friend. I don't understand.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, we're a very loving bunch.
Listen, up against
we're a very
the
loving
wall,
bunch.
Up against the wall.
I'd like to be a friend of the show.
Duncan is a friend of the show.
Yeah.
Duncan, you are more than a friend of the show. Duncan, you are
for us. You're definitely more than a friend.
Exactly. You're more than a friend. I would go to third base with you, Duncan. What? What I mean
third base in podcasting terms, right? Right, Ron? Okay.
But, Chris, I appreciate the constructive criticism despite your use of IRL and IMO in an email text. But we're just having some fun, and I bet you Hiroshi would proudly consider himself a friend of the show. So.
Because I guarantee you one thing, Chris. Every time we say friend of the show, we have a really big smile on our face because we know how ridiculous it is to say that.
Yeah.
But it's just part of the fun.
The people we call friends of the show, like, If he sees you at Google I.O., he's going to say hello to you.
Yeah, and I'll say hello to him, sure. Then I'll be like, he said hello to me.
Yes, exactly.
So there you go.
Yeah, we're just having fun, Chris. I'm having fun. I had some fun with that email. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make fun of your IRL and IMO, but yeah, it's just a joke.
Wade County proposes a new show title. I would go third base with you, Duncan. We'll think about that. We'll think about
that. Sounds like a great idea. Put it down. I'm putting it down.
I gotta say is Duncan is Hamon. He's not sleeping. I mean, it's a very good match.
It's a good match. It's a good match.
My girlfriend might get upset, so let's keep it.
Third base in podcast terms, all right, is very different from the third base you guys are all thinking about. Okay, real quick
nice
here.
Stack of comics and a pinball machine here, Ron.
What? You are speaking my language.
Jeez, the hits keep coming. And Rev Danson Knight in chat. We've already done friend of the show as a title. I think it was episode 300 or something. Anyways, okay, real quick here. We have some ideas for Android O.
I like this. Yeah.
This is really good. Nicholas wrote in to say, you guys are having a lot of trouble thinking up a name. Oreo stands out the most, but I have a feeling Google doesn't want to deal with the hassle of using a trademark name again. I was looking at different foods to start with O, and then it hit me. It's an after-meal sweet. It's not a trademark name. Everyone knows what it is. Android Orange.
And I thought, what? Like, that is such a smart, that's just a really nice thing for Google to put, like, if Google would do, and I don't know, I mean.
Refreshing.
Yes!
And so what would be great then if they could get together, and Kara, I've got to have an image for your show. If they could get together with Disney and do a combined kind of promotion with Android and Orange Bird, the little orange character. How great would that be?
I don't know about this. This is like Disney trivia, Ron. You want some
Disney history? So when Walt Disney World opened in Florida in 1971, they were sponsored by the Florida Orange Growers Association. And they had the Sunshine Tree Terrace in Adventureland where you could get orange juice and all this sort of stuff. And part of the deal was Disney created a character named Orange Bird who, as you can see, has the head of an orange, the body of a bird, and leaves for wings and stuff. And what's interesting is that Orange Bird doesn't talk, and that when they did cartoons and commercials with Orange Bird, he would have a little speech bubble open up, and it would show a drawing of what he wanted to say.
Not like Tinkerbell, who just
not like Tinkerbell, but Orange Bird was around in the 70s, and then it kind of left the Disney parks in the late 70s, and then it stayed on in Florida as a local kind of Florida mascot in the Orange Growers Association, and only recently has Disney brought it back, and now you can get some Orange Bird merchandise. And so I like orange. So
there you go. We also heard from other people extending on that idea. John Weiss and James Thatcher both thought orange sherbet or sherbet, whatever you want to say, however you say that. Andrew sent in a recommendation of Orangina.
It is an international staple.
That's a trademark.
Although it is made differently overseas than it is here, just FYI.
I feel like orange is great, orange sherbet is a really good one. Because orange sherbet, that's an actual dessert. That's something. Yeah, I could see them going with that.
Totally see that.
And orange is a tasty treat, though.
It is.
It is. And it is a good after dinner palate cleanser vitamin C booster.
I'd proudly pour orange sherbet all over this table on the announcement day. Because usually we have whatever the dessert is in abundance right around the time it's announced. I would cover this table in orange sherbet. You heard it here first.
That would be very sticky, and I'm not sure that I would like that for all the devices that I may bring to the show.
I might get fired, so I won't do that. But we'll eat it. So there you go. All right, hey.
Oh my god.
What do you say we have the world's quickest Android app,
yes.
Alina?
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
All right, so last week's poll, we'll check in on it, bit.ly/AAAVote306. I have not looked at the results myself, previous responses.
I haven't either.
Surprise for everybody.
Let's see here. So we have, email, fast and secure mail, first place, 34.9% of the votes. We've got second place is Hermit with 32%.
So that was a pretty close match there. Third place is Bard Video Assembler with 19.8%. And fourth place, Amazon Underground Prime Video with 13.4%. Oh, well, it's worth a try.
So with that said, Wade County in the chat room, thank you for tallying the points. And currently Jason is in fourth with 16 points. Flo is in third with 18 points. Our guests are in second with 24 points. And I'm sitting pretty in first with 27 points.
Oh, he had to put in the sitting pretty.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not rubbing it. I do got to say, though, no joke, that app I brought to the arena last week, that fast and secure email, I've been using it. I'm not using the Gmail app anymore. It is unbelievably faster than the Gmail app, and it's a great little app, so I'm glad everyone liked it.
Unbelievably faster, unbelievably securer.
Yeah.
This is really, really off topic. Somebody just mentioned Orange Sherber in the chat room would make it Android OS. Sorry. I had to. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Mind blown. But that's amazing. That's a really good point. That's amazing.
Aspire,
yeah. All right, ooh. Sorry. Back to fighting.
That's a really interesting little wrinkle there.
Yeah.
And if Google hadn't thought of that before, maybe they are now.
We just listen. Friend of the show,
Hiroshi Lockheimer. He's listening now.
Yeah, he's listening. Totally. Yes.
I think he's in Barcelona with Duncan.
Yeah, but he's awake right now. That's what Hiroshi does. Okay, hey. Okay, let's blast through this because Duncan has to get some sleep.
Yeah,
that's right. I'm the big loser. I continue to be the big loser, but that doesn't mean that this app isn't going to be awesome. It's actually a very simple app, but I feel like it's well designed and it does one function very well. It's called Measure with an exclamation point. Let me actually give you some more information because it might be hard to find the app if that's all you put in there. Look for his last name is Anderson. So if you search for Measure Anderson, you'll find it in the Play Store. So this is a material designed, easy, straightforward measuring app, right? It's a ruler. I can have metric units or imperial units.
Put it back.
Either
put
way,
it back.
No big
it
deal.
It has been a long time since I've seen a ruler app. This is awesome.
Now, what I like about this ruler app is, so let's say that this is my wallet and I wanna rule it. measure it would be the better
one
way to say
to
that.
Rule them all.
I'm trying to hold it up at the. So that it'll work here. So it has this little thing. There we go. This little thing so you can get it exactly right. So this is a little tab. You can hide it if you want. You don't need to have that pointer there. But if you want it there and you want to know exactly how big this wallet is, you just go like that. And what do you know? It's 3.6 inches. How do I know? Because the little thing told me. That's right, the pointer. That's what it's all about. And then if you don't like the design, you just hit random color and you can change the design. And it's super easy. I happen to like this. Is that teal?
Yeah, it's a teal actually.
Okay.
Right on the money.
I happen to like teal because it's what
I ended up on randomly. Nice.
Well, it's nice. More of a random thing, but whatever. It's a ruler app. It's called Measure with an exclamation point and material ruler in parentheses. And it's made by Joel Anderson. And it has, you know, I like to feature low install apps. This is 1,000 to 5,000 updated February 13th. So, you know, being updated, super simple, does one thing really well. Measure things.
I like it.
I just really like the suggestions for the other ruler apps in the Play Store. there's a lot of ruler apps.
There are. It's one of those categories.
It's funny.
There's tons of them. What's up?
Will your app measure up to the others?
I don't know. Can I measure the others with my Measure app? Is that possible? Probably not.
I don't know. What's the scale of the other apps?
Oh, boy.
Well, I think Flo's going to have to go, and we'll see.
Yeah, so I'm showing off an app today that actually costs money, so forgive me. It's $4.99 in the App Store. The Play Store, not the App Store.
No, don't go there.
So this app is called Tiny Planet FX Pro, and I'm like really into making little planets out of my panoramas. So we're going to make one right now here on screen.
Oh, this is awesome.
So I'm going to open it max length. So this this will be a panorama of Piha Beach in New Zealand. And this was a panorama, and now it is a planet. And I can zoom in. I can rotate it as I need to, the way I want to share it.
So when you take a normal panorama, 360, ooh, that's weird.
Just invert it.
Oh, that's cool.
Spin it. There's advanced settings. Reflection. Look at that.
Reflection.
It's, Oh, sorry about that, guys.
Look at that. Whoa! This is kind of like, it hurts my brain a little bit.
I think I might post that to Instagram later. Look at that. That's so, you know, and then if, you know, you want to reset it, you just reset it and it takes it back to making a little planet. You can't pan
it. So how do you prepare for this? You just have to use your camera to do a panorama?
Just take it right and then import it. And actually, if you want, okay, so I'm going to save this. Give me 1 second.
Can we visit this planet?
Unfortunately not.
I might want to go to that planet.
So,
yeah, let's go.
Would I? No, I'm not going to save the image. All right, so we're going back, and here's the home screen. You can snap a photo and make a planet. So let's make a later. Let's make a planet.
Is it? But you can make a planet out of a single image?
Yeah. And then you crop it to make it a panorama like style.
Oh, okay.
Select it and put it at max. There we go.
Oh, weird.
Made a weird, and then you just kind of zoom in and just make it look weird. It's just creative. It's just a creative.
Oh, that's cool.
That is neat.
Spinning around. Maybe you want to wrap it differently.
It makes my brain hurt.
Well, don't stare at it.
Oh, that's neat.
There you go. Just keyboards. There
we
go.
I want an animated GIF of just that, like floating through your creation.
So there you go.
That's cool.
It's called Tiny Planet FX Pro. It's just a little effects thing. It's $5, yes, but you know what, guys? Support developers, okay? Because, oh, and it does have ads, but not because you paid for it. Oh. I haven't seen any ads.
So does it have a free and a...
It might. I didn't see any ads since I've been using it, so I just saw that on the play. Anyway, moving on. Tiny Planet FX Pro.
Excellent. Tiny Planet FX Pro. All right, Duncan, you are up next. I've got your app installed. I can attempt to show it off while you talk about it.
Excellent. So this is called Tunnel Bear VPN, and it is a simple VPN app which has a little bit of a fun and a whimsical side. One of the advantages of it is it does actually have a free tier, so I think it's you get 500 megabytes a month every month to do all of the tunneling you need, and basically just tap get tunneling there, Jason. Okay. Oh, you didn't have the sound on.
Oh, did it actually make a noise that I missed?
If you put the sound on now,
okay, and
the most important part of the app will happen soon. Now, if you go where the United States is and click up on the little arrow there, up down the bottom.
Okay.
And then you can choose any exit point you want. So if you needed to be exiting in a particular country to access something that was region locked, very important for us in Australia needing to activate Google services. Quite often they just need you to authenticate once and then click on him. He'll start tunneling. Did he let off his growl?
I'm not getting any audio, but that could just be my phone.
You get a very satisfactory
I want that. That's actually what I need with my VPN app.
What you doing in Canada, though?
I don't know. Why? Should I go somewhere else?
Canada.
Okay, fine. I'll go somewhere else. I'll go to Switzerland. Whatever.
Ooh, Switzerland, huh? What are you hiding? How much money are you hiding?
A Swiss bank account full of, like, $500. I don't know.
It's a nice, simple app with a really quite easy to use interface, which you seem to have crashed.
I blame my phone. My phone, by the way, has been really weird lately.
I saw your thread.
My
about
pixel's
that.
Playing up too. If Jason hadn't sabotaged my demonstration by crashing his phone, everything. Jason, do you have off the note? Do you have Life 360 installed on that phone?
Oh, there we go. Do I have Live 360
what
on
is
it?
What's happening?
Live 360.
No. I don't believe so.
No, okay, because that seemed to cause that issue as well. Anyway, Tunnel Bear VPN, it's free in the Play Store. There is subscription options if you want to use more than the 500 megabytes per month, and it's just a nice, simple, easy, fun way of getting a VPN. It's been very important for me while I've been over here in Barcelona when I'm doing something secure. We do have a VPN with Ozdroid, but sometimes you might just want something a little bit easier than having to set up your own open VPN system. So it's a great fun little app, and it gives you a nice reassuring roar.
I think I might know why I didn't hear that, because I also have Ron's app installed. And is it possible that Ron's app sabotaged my...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
This is how Ron is keeping his lead.
Not consciously.
I wouldn't necessarily blame Ron for this, but...
It's not my fault. How was I supposed to know?
Let's see here. So let me see if maybe I can connect to something else now and we can hear... No, I'm just not getting any volume rocker action.
Have you untunneled him?
Well, it's just...
I don't think he can change.
Like, the fact is, like, I'm moving my volume rocker and it's not doing anything. So... You know, it's whatever. My phone's weird. I will try my best in my spare time to find the RAR because I really want to hear it. And you should too. Tunnel Bear VPN. Tunnel Bear is actually a very popular service for VPN.
Chats about it while you're struggling.
I don't know. My phone has been weird lately. It's been like flat out locking
That's up. Not
like
good. Once every That's what happened to my 6P. That's why I got.
That shouldn't happen. That shouldn't happen. Google. All right, Ron. I will attempt to show off your thing if my phone wakes up here. Go.
Okay. Well, my app was not intended to sabotage anyone else's app, but it is called Volume Scroll, or in the Google Play Store, Volume Scroll bracket no root. And it is free in the Google Play Store. And basically what it does is it allows you to use the volume buttons, the physical volume buttons on your phone to control scrolling on the screen. So if you are a active reader as you're commuting and you don't want to be swiping with your thumb up and down or whatever, you can use the down volume to scroll down and the up volume to scroll up. All you got to do is turn on the accessibility service in the settings. And then what it does is it once you do that, it enables you to use the volume button as a scroller. And there is an option that allows you to show an on-screen scroll button. So a little kind of transparent scroll button on the left side of the screen that shows you when it's active. And that's basically it. I just thought it was a neat little, once again, taking the bits and pieces of our phone and giving them new life through other applications. One question might be whether or not the volume still works. Yes, it does. All you need to do is long hold on the volume button and it switches over to the volume control and turns up your volume or down your volume that way. So volume scroll. Simple as that. Don't even need to show it off as it's using it. So there it is.
I wish that I could show it off, but my phone is like broken at this point.
It's okay. Wow. Well, Kara was smart to show the screenshots in the Google Play Store. It's free in the Google Play Store. Scroll on your device with your volume buttons.
I like it. I can't wait to play with it someday.
Yeah, it's fun.
Scroll button. Oof,
man, I almost threw my phone off the table and I would have been instantly regretting that.
Don't be that mad at it.
Well, you're supposed to work, Pixel. Anyways, not now. Duncan has to get to bed.
You're right.
So, bit.ly/AAAvote307 is where you go. bit.ly/AAAvote307. Place your vote for your favorite app. Is it Measure? Is it Tiny Planet FX Pro? Tunnel Bear VPN? Or Volume Scroll? Place your vote. We'll check in on it next week and see where we end up. And that, as they say, is that. Duncan Jaffrey, Ozdroid.net. Wow. Really appreciate you sacrificing your sleep and your life for this show.
It was really good to have your perspective today.
Yes.
No, thank you. It's always been fun to come on. So thank you very much for the opportunity.
I really hope you sleep all the way back to Australia.
Yes, well, that's the silver lining, that perhaps I'll actually sleep on a plane. I also have a large pharmacy in my bag, so I might just make that happen.
Oh, excellent. Do what you got to do, man.
I
judge.
I completely understand.
Where can people follow you online? What are you working on? You're working on Mobile World Congress stuff, but like, what's your big review, the thing that you're working on next?
So I'm hoping to get my hands on a G5 before we leave, so... with the security updates coming in, that's something that's near and dear to my heart, is getting good quality security updates to the lower end of the market. And on that similar vein, we're going to be following a few Android One OEMs. You know, Android One has now moved into Japan, which is quite a large market. And it's my hope that it might actually spread to others. So we've already got one post up of an Android One device that was revealed here, and that's something we're going to keep looking at because I believe that everyone, regardless of economic means, deserves safe and secure software.
Absolutely. I would completely agree with that. All right, so check out osdroid.net to follow Duncan's work and, well, all the other awesome folks working at Osdroid. Really appreciate it, Duncan. Thank you. Get some rest.
I'll think about it.
All right.
I might go organize my pins.
No, do something that's going to, well, maybe that'll make you feel recharged in the morning. I don't know. Everybody's different. But we really appreciate it. What about you, Flo? What you working on?
Well, I'm just working on a variety of things, testing out the G6, living life with Android, the huge.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find out what I'm doing at androidcentral.com as well as on Twitter and Snapchat at OhThatFlow.
OhThatFlow. Thank you, Flo. What about you, Ron? Uh-oh.
I'm muted because okay. I was afraid the dog was going to bark. I'm just living the life. Follow me on Twitter at RonXO, where you can see all my wonderful adventures. Go listen to the iFanboy podcast talking about comic books every week. We'll be talking about Logan, the next comic book movie coming out this weekend. So you can look for that next week in our feed. And check out Damn Fine Podcast, where me and Tom Merritt are talking about Twin Peaks every week at DamnFinePodcast.com.
Radical. Thank you once again, Ron. Kara, this is usually the part of the show where I say, what about you? And do you want a what about you to you?
Is my mic on? Can
you yeah, hear me? We hear you.
What about me? Yeah. I'm just, you know, behind the scenes engineering, TVing occasionally. I work on the screensavers on Saturdays. And yeah, that's about it.
All right. Well, you know what? We really appreciate your help. Thank you.
We do.
And we appreciate that mid this time you chose not to do the Android news bumper. Next time we'll get you though.
Never.
Yes. Never. We'll work on it. You can find me at about.me/Jason Howell. Follow my music at yellowgoldmusic.com. Don't forget, we have a store if you want to buy all that Android merchandise. You can. twit.tv/store. Go there, get some shirts, some stickers, get some mugs. We also have all sorts of merchandise around a lot of our shows here on the network and the Twit logo in general. So check it out, twit.tv/store. Some really cool stuff there. But that is it for this week. What an episode it was.
Huge.
Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us an email or video mail to AAA@twit.tv. You can find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. Subreddit, twitaaa.reddit.com. Show notes and past episodes can always be found on our show page at twit.tv/AAA. You can also find our episodes on YouTube, iTunes, Pocket Cast, anywhere fine podcasts are found. And you can catch us live every Tuesday, starting at 5:30 p.m. Pacific, usually at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see y'all next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody. Woohoo!
Bye.